This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Cat lovers, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. I'm always excited when we have a show about TNR, about spay and neuter, because it helps in dwindling the population of cats that are euthanized. And my guest today is doing some incredible things in that area, and I'm so excited to have her on. So stay tuned. It's going to be a great show. We'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Deborah Cribbs. She is the founder and leader of the Give Them 10 movement. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, thanks for having me, Michelle.
I'm so excited to have you on. You know, feline welfare and whatever we could do to change the amount of cats that are unwanted, that are in shelters, that are unfortunately euthanized, is just so positive. So let's talk about what the Give Them 10 movement is. So what is it and how did it come to be?
Well, it's a great story. First, Give Them 10. Cats have 9 lives, right? So let's give them 10. That's what it means. Great, huh?
It's great. It's a great name, great name and slogan and mission all wrapped up in one. How did it come to be?
Well, it's an unusual story, I think. By day, I'm a banker. I manage money for super rich people in the Cincinnati area. And about a decade ago, one of my clients, who was kind of an eccentric, super rich lady who really liked only cats and me, left a bunch of money to a private foundation in my care and in the care of my bank. And because we had under our care this huge amount of money only for the benefits of cats in the Cincinnati area, as fiduciaries, we were charged with figuring out how to use this money in a good way. I mean, it's a business venture. So maybe for the first time in the history of animal welfare, a group of business people took a look at the problem and said, all right, folks, we have resources. There is a problem. Let's take a look at it and see if we can match those up. So we started looking at it and realized the problem. I mean, obviously, to those of you who have been on the ground for all these years, the problem really is that there is an overpopulation of pets. Well, why? Lots of reasons why. We decided that spay neuter was our low-hanging fruit, if you will. And by the way, I can rhyme and make puns about spay neuter balls, nuts. I mean, I can talk about spay neuter and genitalia in any way because we've got really great advertising people that have taught me over the years. But we decided that spay neuter was what we wanted to concentrate on. Adoption is another arena, but we thought we're going to concentrate on spay neuter. So we started going down that path and we decided that it was really important to change the paradigm and talk to the public. So we spend half of our resources on the ground trying to work with shelters, making them better, giving them funding, but actually trying to change the shelter environment locally anyway. And we've managed to do that. And half of our resources are put into the public arena. We've created a really sexy ad campaign that we initially have used locally. So that's sort of the beginning of our journey.
Okay. How did you get involved in all of this? Are you a cat person?
Oh, I love cats. Absolutely. I love cats. I've had cats in my life since I was a kid. I've always had cats in the home. I mean, I absolutely knew that there was a problem in the world of cat welfare, but until about a decade ago when I took on this challenge, I didn't know what I know now. So I've always been a cat lover. You know, now I'm absolutely a cat advocate, a cativist for sure. Absolutely. I am a cat person and I'm certainly a crazy cat lady now.
So let's talk about this. I don't know the exact numbers, but I know they're awfully high. And with spay neuter, if a female cat is not fixed, how many cats could eventually be born from one cat?
Well, that's a good question. And I don't want to answer incorrectly and get all the other crazy cat ladies telling me I'm wrong. But it's a really high number. Yeah, it's a really high number. It gets to be into the tens, the dozens, the hundreds, depending on, you know, as I've understood, Michelle, it depends on the health of the cat. And you know what? I think this is an interesting conversation. Of all the things that I've learned that I think the average public crazy cat lady, nice neighborhood person doesn't know, because what we're really talking about here today is community cats, you know, TNR, trap, neuter, return, community cat programs, our favorite thing to fund. And the way that we have saved so many cats in our region of the country is to fund these programs for spay neuter, which basically say, if there are cats living outside, either lingering colonies that are thriving, you know, alive and doing well, get them fixed, put them back where they are, and let them do what they're doing. Now, sometimes people are feeding them kindly, and sometimes they're managing on their own. But if they're thriving, let them stay where they are, because we don't want them in shelters. That's the problem. You know, when they get into shelters, then there's a bottleneck and too many cats in shelters. And that's the problem. We don't want them in shelters. So community cats, when they're out there doing fine, here's the part that I want to get back to that I think the crazy cat ladies don't understand. When you kindly feed a cat, you make that cat healthier, right? You make the cat healthier. So that cat, that female cat, is going to produce more kittens. So that number that you're talking about actually gets higher. A healthy cat might have 5-6 kittens. An unhealthy cat, or less healthy, might only have 1 or 2. Now, when you do that all-important formula you're talking about, the numbers vary widely. That's why it really depends on where you start. But it is tens to hundreds over the years, the span of life. And also, Michelle, that lifespan really varies. An inside cat lives much longer than an outside cat, statistically, no question. But kind of that first nugget of truth that I want people to understand, it is really great if you are feeding a cat outside and that cat seems happy and healthy and thriving. That's a really great thing to do. Make sure that cat is fixed. That's all. Just make sure the cat is fixed so that that cat can't reproduce. That is a super good thing to do. And then I think the other, gosh, most important thing for people to know, especially this time of year, if you run across a mama cat and kittens, for gosh sake, do not separate them. Feed the mama, get the mama, you know, all kinds of nutrition so that mama can take care of the kittens. Do not separate them. The kittens are best helped by mama. And then when the kittens are weaned and separated themselves from mama, then let's get everybody fixed and into homes one way or another, or allow them right outside as community cats.
You know what, Deborah? I don't think people realize how fast cats reproduce. Some people know, but generally most people don't know how fast they reproduce. It's, you know, it's kitten season, generally April through October. I live in a warm climate, so could happen, you know, a little bit longer than that. And longtime listeners of Catitude know I had my own experience. When I moved, there was a mama cat that came with the house. And she had with her, I didn't know it was a mama cat at the time. I thought she was a kitten because she was kind of skinny. And so Sammy had her baby with her, which I didn't realize she was her baby because she was almost as big as her. And that was Charlotte. We were feeding her, not realizing, you know, and even though I knew about this, I didn't know about this because I hadn't been involved with a cat colony before. So soon after Sammy had her baby daddy, Jethro, came along. And before long, Sammy's getting chubbier and voila, kittens. So they were born on my doorstep in September. Then before I could catch her, she had another set of kittens. And the kittens are walking and moving around by, I think that they were like 3 weeks old. We put up a fence. We had a tarp. We had everything for them because, you know, she was a community cat. So I couldn't separate her. And she was the type that was very skittish, never did well indoors. And I trapped the baby daddy twice. I trapped a raccoon once. I could not trap the mama cat. I had to call a cat trapper that, you know, did humane trapping and brought her back and everything. But it's sometimes it is a challenge. And even though you're feeding them, that's not enough because then they reproduce.
Right.
She was a small cat. So, you know, not all have only litters of three. I think that's the average. Some have larger litters, but she would just probably keep on producing. You know, they don't live as long. She would never do well indoors. So we did whatever we could outdoors to make her life and her baby daddy's life more comfortable. You know, they were both fixed. They had a water fountain. They had food. They had a little house, a heater, which you don't really need a heater, especially for kittens. Yeah. You know, you don't need that for, you know, South Florida, but hey, we get cold fronts. So they had everything. They just would not do well indoors. But they both passed at about what I could guess, 6-7 years of age. But the thing was, it was mind-blowing to know and hear about, you know, this as I have learned so much through all the experts I've had on Catitude. But then it was another thing living it, because it's not so easy to always trap. There are people in most areas, there's a way to reach out to people in your community and find someone. I found the person, the cat trapper on, I think it was that neighborhood app that they have. I can't remember the name of it, but something like that, or Facebook, or you can go. There's ways to reach out to find somebody in the community that can trap. And then, of course, most places do an ear tag so you know that the cat's fixed, because it's a little hard to tell.
Yeah, we do an ear tip here, and I did the same, Michelle. I live in Cincinnati, so we do have cold, and we have one kitten season. You guys probably have two, or the, you know, cats can reproduce twice a year down there. Up here, it's getting warmer. No joke about that. But we still generally just have kind of one longer kitten season up here right now. But in the winter, I mean, I sort of created my own outdoor colony on our deck, and they were guys. You know, I kind of would feed anybody who came and all the indoor cats. I promised my husband I wouldn't have any more than three at any one time, but I would always feed anybody who would come outside. And we had a collection of little houses, so they got bigger, and then heating pads, and then a heater. And like you said, the water fountains. I mean, it was quite a collection. And, you know, they came and they died, and we take them to the vet, and I would trap them. And you're right, they're trapping experts. And I mean, boy, some of them are not easy to trap, but they're also food motivated. You know, eventually you can get them because of food, but it's the right thing to do, I think, to trap them. And, but then once you trap them and you ear tip them, so everybody knows they're fixed, then I think they're your responsibility to feed. And generally, when they know there's a food source, they'll come back and eat. If they don't, okay, that's on them. You know, I'm putting food out. But it sounds like you, and what I know about you, they tug at your heart. We name them. We love them. But I'm trying to do, I mean, that's what I do in my backyard. You know, that's what you do in your backyard. I guess, blessed with the opportunity to try to do something bigger and try to actually fix the problem. And to that end, I'm trying to actually engage the public to understand, as humans, we've created this problem. We really, truly have. We have created the problem because we domesticated as much as humans can domesticate cats, which is not entirely, but we've domesticated them. We've allowed this to happen. I think it's our problem to solve. We're the managers of Earth, like it or not. We're in charge. So I think we have a moral obligation to fix, no pun intended, the problem. So it's a blessing, but we're really trying to fix the problem. We really are. And in our area, we've succeeded wildly. Our live release rate is above 96% and holding. The rest of the country is struggling post-pandemic, I understand. And we keep a pretty good eye on the numbers.
I was just going to ask you about that. So when you started your work in 2013, you had a live release rate in Cincinnati that was like 37%. And now you just stated you went up to 96%. How did you raise that rate? And then also, what is a cat culture shift?
Well, make sure that your listeners understand the live release rate is sort of the first way that we measure success, which is the number of cats that enter, the percentage of cats that enter the shelter that have a live outcome. And when we got involved, every community in the country has a shelter that has the opportunity to kill cats and dogs. Whether they do or not is up to them. And in the Cincinnati area, you know, there definitely was a kill shelter, and it's usually the county shelter. And they had very bad data tracking, and they hid their data. So what I like to say is they use the yellow sticky note method of data collection, and the best that I could tell, it was somewhere in the 30-odd percent range. So we're not sure. It was probably worse than that. So somewhere in the 37% range of cats ended up alive when they entered that shelter. And now it's in the high 90s, which is about as high as you can get it, because there are mortally wounded cats that come into shelter that need to be, you know, humanely killed. So how did we do it? The very first thing and the biggest jump that you can get into the 80 percentile easily are the community cat program. That is what I was talking about, where you sort of talk to the public and say, hey, if you have outdoor cats, if there are pet colonies, help us identify where they are, help us trap them, help us bring them in. We'll help with the cost, but let's get these colonies under control. But we don't want them in the shelter. We want them to come in, fix them, put them right back out there. That immediately starts, within a couple of years, that starts lowering the intake into the shelters. The spay neuter, there's always a need for spay neuter. And when I'm talking spay neuter, generally I'm talking high volume, low cost spay neuter. A clinic rather than private, you know, private practice. But that's the first big jump. And then the next jump is a little bit harder and takes a little bit longer. And that is really talking to the public and saying, hey, it's important that if you are in control of a pet and that pet is outside in any way, you really do need to make sure that the pet's not reproducing. And by the way, if you have a cat inside and you think it's fun to have kittens, don't, because there are plenty of kittens being born not deliberately who need homes. So everybody just needs to stop. You know, I'm going to say there are cats being deliberately bred for, you know, cat showing, you know, competitive cats. And I'm going to set that aside without judgment. That's a whole different category, but there are still nationally cats being killed in shelters every single day. At this point, you know, we got involved again, the data is not perfect, but we're still probably at 1 million cats nationally. I don't know, again, the data is not perfect. Let's say at least hundreds of thousands. And again, after the pandemic, the numbers have some progress that we made pre-pandemic, it looks like post-pandemic we're slipping. And part of that is because there's a sincere veterinary challenge right now in the country. We don't have enough vets. But to go back to your question, how do we succeed? My short answer is the public has to take some ownership into it and, you know, love your cats and do the right thing for the cats.
Okay, we're going to take a short break and we're going to come back and talk about Scooter. So we'll be right back right after this commercial break. Michelle Byrne here, and you know saving cats is near and dear to my heart. Did you know that there is an estimated 70 to 100 million free-roaming cats in the United States? And without spay-neuter, that number will keep growing. Not only does spay-neuter mainly reduce the community cat population, but it also keeps cats healthier. Scooter, the neutered cat, is on a mission to give cats an extra life by making it hip to be snipped. Visit his website, givethem10.org, to help pioneer a better world for cats. That's givethem10, spelled out, T-E-N.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Deborah Cribbs. She is the founder and creator of Give Them 10. We talked about some great stuff in the first half. You developed this Give Them 10 movement, which has done just fabulous things. Mostly you're based in like the Cincinnati area, but you also developed, you had some good rapping and lingo. So maybe you could share some of that and also tell us about Scooter.
Absolutely. I'm so proud of Scooter. I was mentioning when we started working on this, we realized that if the public doesn't take ownership of the problem and help us fix it, the problem being that cats are being killed in shelters for space, then we're never going to fix it. We're just going to chase our tails. And that's what's been happening, you know, since basically the 50s when shelters came into being in the US. So we thought, well, we need to talk to the public. How are we going to do it? And we took an approach of being kind of funny and edgy. And we hired a really great ad agency because we had the resources to do so. It's a private foundation. We've got the money. And we developed an ad campaign that's just that, edgy and funny. And we have a mascot, or we like to say spokes cat. And his name is Scooter. He is Scooter the neutered cat. He has hip spectacles, no testicles. And like I said, I sit in conference rooms and rhyme with testicles, rhyme things with testicles like spectacles all the time. It's fun. We have songs.
Hey, you know, fun's the way to go. If we, whatever we need to do to reduce the cat population, so less cats are in shelter, and
right,
the better it is. And some people might say, well, I have indoor cats only. Do I really need to get them fixed?
Yes.
Okay. I think so. Yes, too. And there's benefits to that.
Yes. And funny you should ask that. You know, our first round of advertising, and you know, when we advertise, we're speaking to the public. The first round was, he's hip, he's cool, he's allowed, he can walk free and be hip and cool because he's fixed and he won't do any harm, right? The second round of talking to the public was, okay, why should you fix your pet? Well, because if you do, you will benefit. If you fix your pet, a girl kitty or a boy kitty, you won't have the spraying, you won't have the yowling, you know, you won't have some of the bad behaviors. And for a girl kitty in particular, there's a lower risk of cancer in the future. So there are a bunch of bona fide reasons to spay neuter just as a pet person, not to mention overpopulation, you know, and helping cats that way. Yeah, it's better for your household, I would argue. And I mean, especially the spraying and the boy kitties.
And this might not be the best way to go, but I always think too, it's always better to take care of spay and neuter when the cat's younger. And the thing is, you hope you have your cats for their entire lifetime, but you never know what's going to happen.
I agree.
And it's not saying someone's going to pass away, but you never know. You want to always have your cat. But what if for some reason something happens? You know, you have to live overseas for a couple of years or something like that, and you have to give your cat away to a friend, or who knows what could happen. But this is one less thing whoever is adopting your cat will have to deal with. And do fixed cats get adopted more readily than non-fixed cats, or...
Sure. It's like you said, it's one less thing the new person has to do. many, I would probably say most shelters in the U.S. won't actually adopt a cat unless and until they're fixed. So it's a barrier if the cat isn't fixed. And right now, because of the veterinary crisis, there is a bit of a logjam. So if a cat enters a shelter for the reason you said, like you moved or whatever, and you can't take the cat with you, and the cat's waiting in line to be fixed, that might prevent the cat from being actually adopted. And yes, that is kind of tragic. So there's no reason not to do it as soon as you can. I mean, in the high volume world, we can actually spay neuter a cat at 2 pounds. And that's really in the community cat world. In the private vet world, I think they want them at 6 to 8 weeks, and either is fine. But yeah, I think the younger the better when you do something like that. But that said, if you adopt an older cat and they haven't been fixed yet, by all means, fix that cat. Your life with that cat will be better. Certainly, statistically, indoor cats live longer. If you live in a community or a place where the cat is safe and happy, indoor, outdoor, I'm certainly not going to tell you not to do that. There are those who will. I'm not going to tell you not to do that. I think a good home is a good home. Absolutely. And I want to say, you know, Scooter is a really, really fun advertising campaign. And I would encourage your listeners, because you don't want to hear me singing our song, but we have a YouTube channel. You can just Scooter the Neuter Cat. And all of our ads, most of our ads, some of them are not available. And our website, Give Them 10, but they are some super fun ads to look for. And we're in the process now of licensing around the country. We're offering our ad campaigns for basically nothing because we put so much money into it. We would love the opportunity for anybody, any bona fide shelter system that would like to use them. We would love for them, for Scooter to live in other areas and give his message to other parts of the country. So that's what we're actually working on right now. He's speaking in, I believe it's Kauai. He's speaking in Iowa. He has a new gig in Georgia. So coming to television, radio, and podcasts near you, I hope.
I was going to ask you, right now, you're based in how many locations?
Just Cincinnati. We're in Cincinnati. This is where we'll be. But because we have these beautiful ads and this amazing ad campaign that includes billboards and lots of digital work, you know, Facebook and Instagram, TikTok, and we've got so much work. We realized a couple of years ago, hey, this stuff is plug and play. I mean, if there's a shelter system that has any kind of, you know, marketing team that knows how to work their local media, their local TV, radio, if they have any ability to do social, we are willing to license our work, like I said, for almost nothing, just so Scooter's message can be used. Because most shelter systems don't have the ability, the resources to do what we've done, which is come up with this really professional and amazing work. So yeah, he's starting to live in other areas, but we will always be headquartered in Cincinnati. Absolutely.
Okay. And what do the shelters, how can they reach you? And what do people need to do to join the movement? Because you are able to join the movement, even if you're just an individual cat lover.
Absolutely. Our website's a great place to start, givethem10.org. We've got all kinds of information for all versions of cat lovers, information on how do you trap, like you and I were talking about, links to all of our ad work, links to all of our social if you want to just follow us, and links to how to become a licensee if you want to do that. We are very active on social. So absolutely, I encourage everybody to check us out in any way. And I think it's really neat that you have a backyard filled with happy cats as well.
What is your hope in, say, 5 years for givethem10.org? And everyone listening, that's 10 spelled out, T-E-N. So what is your goal, say, 5 years? Give them 10 in every city? Well, every state at least?
I'd love Scooter to be a household name. I would love the live release rate to not even be an issue anymore in the United States. I would love our problem, it would just be a thing of the past, and that we would take companion animals, our stewardship as humans over companion animals, so seriously that we would not be killing any of them, cats and dogs. And perhaps we could take our good works overseas and help others. That would be my wish.
Oh, I love that.
My very favorite ad that we're running right now has to do with James Bond. And I'll challenge people to go look at our YouTube site because it's really funny.
Your ads are great. I don't know how you got Scooter too. He has sunglasses on. A rapper dude. I don't know how you got him to do that. He's a ginger, right?
Oh, that one's funny. Yeah.
Maybe they're chill. I don't. Well, Dennis, I could get to wear something possibly. Molly, forget it. She would not tolerate. She's a diva. She would not tolerate that. Charlotte, she's misunderstood a little bit. So no. Just Dennis could possibly. He's part Maine Coon, but I don't know how you got. Check out givethem10.org. Go and check out their ads. They're amazing. And let your shelters know. Let your friends know. This is a great movement, Deborah. And it has been so wonderful talking to you. I wish you amazing success. Thank you so much.
And you're great. I really appreciate your time and attention. And I wish you the best as well.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. I hope you guys enjoyed this show. I absolutely think the world of givethem10.org. I think what they're doing is amazing. Please be sure to check it out. It's givethem10, and that's T-E-N. And and make sure you watch the video with Scooter. He is adorable. I would like to thank Deborah Cribbs of givethem10.org for coming on Catitude. Thanks to my wonderful listeners of Catitude for doing what you do to help the world of cats be better. And thank you for listening to Catitude. Thanks so much to my adopted cat crew that taught me so much about cats, Dennis, Charlotte, and Molly. And of course, thank you to my producer, Mark Winter. The show would not be the same without his expertise. He makes me and my guests sound amazing. And hey, always remember, lose the attitude, have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.